Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. All right, youtube.com/BrianFonseca. Very excited about this one. We have Dan Titus here from Yahoo Fantasy Basketball, also Roto-World NBC, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, sir. Got a podcast there. If you want some fantasy advice, check it out every Wednesday.
Yes. I'm an avid fantasy basketball player. Also wrote a fantasy basketball column with Action Network last year, which people told me they enjoyed. We started it this year, but, you know, budget cuts, so not doing it right now.
I know how it be. All
my steam on fantasy basketball is going to come out in this episode with Dan, because I was lobbing some complaints before we got started, and fantasy basketball has been annoying me this year, I would say, Dan, annoying me a lot.
I mean, I just like the, if you guys peep the thumbnail, just appreciate all of the views and the effort that Brian took to get the most agonizing faces for these players and their injuries, because that's really what he's feeling. And that's what he wants to vent today to me about. And I feel him. There is a lot of injuries, and it seems like it's been a really tough road for a lot of people in fantasy, with a lot of stars being out this early in the season. Like, it's been like a month.
And this won't be a totally self-serving thing. Like, we're here to serve the people always, first and foremost. But there are other – I have friends who have complained vehemently about fantasy basketball this year. So let's get into it. Fantasy basketball this year. And really in this time, Dan, do you feel like, I guess, post-COVID? Because I feel like there's a pre-COVID version of fantasy basketball and a post-COVID version of fantasy basketball. Because now we have, like, IL Plus, for example, which wasn't really a thing. Do you feel like now it's harder than ever before? Let's just start with the title of this episode, because I feel like, as somebody who's played since high school, so we're talking well over a decade at this point, I feel like it's gotten more challenging because there are, in my opinion, more late scratches, more questionable, like, in-depth injury reports, more things to watch out for. And it feels like leagues need to have more ads and things of that nature. So do you feel like it's more difficult now than perhaps ever?
Yeah, I think it's put more pressure on commissioners, to be honest, to run their leagues appropriately, because you're right. Coming out of the pandemic, we didn't really know how to approach all of these frequency in injuries. And I think the injury reporting has been the most suspect thing for fantasy and betting, too. Like, it could go both ways. Like, these last minute call outs and people that weren't on the injury report that magically show up 2 hours before the game, or even 45 minutes before the game. I think that's the part that's really been harder over the years. And I've been playing fantasy basketball for, you know, well over 25 years, I think. And, you know, in the early 2000s, we didn't have the issue of people wanting to load manage or whatever. Totally get it now if that's the way, the new norm of the league. But playing a game and trying to manage that, and if you're a casual fan that doesn't stare at his phone all the time or looking at the numbers, it's hard to keep track of your lineups. You don't know. You might miss someone that's called out last minute. Me, I stare at this stuff all the time. I'm a degenerate. I have a lot of fantasy basketball teams and a lot of different types of formats. So for me, it doesn't matter. I think that just increases the strategic value of this game, which makes me appreciate it even more. I think it's way harder than fantasy football, which to me is just a game of luck. Whereas fantasy basketball, and we can talk about the different formats, but you play in a head-to-head league, a categories league. And I think that that's just the epitome of roster management. You never win in the draft. You have to be diligent. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be rest. Like, you have to take care of so many factors on top of knowing the statistics to balance out your team. So at a high level, I think I could agree with you. It has become increasingly harder between the injury reporting, the frequency of players being out by injury or load management, but then also just the state of the way the league is. I think we've just seen a paradigm shift of the availability of stars is just not as prominent as it used to be.
I have a categories league team that is getting its ass whooped 5-4 every single week. It's not even getting their ass whooped in terms of the totality.
That's not even an ass whooping. Like, you get smoked 7-2. Like, that's an ass whooping.
But they can't get wins. And it's win loss. It's not just like adding. It's not just like we're competing in the categories only.
Sure.
That league also, this is what I want to ask, has 5 ads per week, okay, and 4 injury slots. The other league that I'm in, because I'm only doing 2 because, like, mental health purposes, I'm too competitive, and it's like I need to focus in on like 2-3 teams max. Like, for fantasy football, which I don't like as much, I have 2 teams. And I get wrapped up into it because I just hate losing. Like, in one league, I just miss out on the playoffs barely because of point differential. And in the other league, I'm in first place with a bye. So we're all good. Basketball, though, like, I have a points team and I have the categories one. Categories, to me, is just more challenging. And points, the points league has 6 injury slots, which I thought that was excessive. And I've used all 6 multiple times this season, Dan. Multiple times. I've had 6 people, Evan Mobley, Austin Reeves, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, like all these different guys, Bam at one point. And that league has only 4 add-ons per week. Do you feel like there's a sweet spot now for fantasy basketball players? And what is that sweet spot now? Because I felt like 3 at one point was the most accepted number. And I feel like now we kind of need 5 because of the late, you know, just in and outs that we see from an injury report perspective, and then just guys getting dinged up all the time and load managing.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to attack this. I think first, it probably depends on how deep your bench is. So if you only have like 3 bench spots, you don't need 5 IL. But I think the default should be IL plus, because that gives fantasy managers the flexibility to,
that's what I mean,
yeah, whether it's day-to-day or a long-term injury, either way, you're stashing them in there. Whereas Yahoo doesn't allow you to do that yet. I'm lobbying for that behind the scenes for that to be changed. We'll see if it happens. Other part of that is, I think the transaction limits each week, I think, should be maxed out at 5. I think having a transaction a day is a bit much. And I think that also puts pressure on your fantasy managers, your other league mates, to be very active and aggressive in the league. You would hope that they would be doing that anyway. But I think that there could be some abuse going on if you have a transaction a day. I would prefer it. Like, if everyone wants to be a degenerate and look at who's the next man up every single day, that would actually be a pretty fun league. But I think the average league, probably 5 is the extent that I would go to. And for IL, I think 3 IL plus would be enough, because that gives enough room for you to make some tough decisions, which I think is another element of fantasy, is like, do I want to drop this guy? Can I afford to drop this guy? And then putting people back out in the waiver pool, because you don't want to have so many IL spots that you wind up hoarding a whole bunch of players. And the next thing you know, you go back to waivers, you're adding and dropping, and there's like nobody left by Sunday because everyone's doing the same thing as you. So I think that there is a fine balance you can get. I would say 3 IL, 5 transactions per week. That's what I generally do in my if I'm commissioning a league, that's kind of where I stand it at. But one other caveat to that is I've seen some more energy around putting games caps limits on fantasy leagues, which I think is interesting because that way you're not having to fight the battle of, oh, I didn't get enough games played this week. Because like, look at week 7 in Yahoo, for example. It's a 2-week period scoring period, and you're only going to be able to use your transactions once.
Yeah.
You could have the luck of the draw of having a bunch of Hawks players, Bucks players, everyone that's in the NBA Cup, you're going to be getting 2-3 more games X over your opponent. You can't do anything about that. Like that's out of your control.
Right.
But if you have a games cap, you only start 4 players each week at each position. Then you have to decide what matchups do I want to attack? And then it kind of evens the playing field. Everyone plays 40 plus games a week. Then it's really about who made the right decision on who to start in the right situations. I personally don't like playing that way, but I think it's a fair way of evening out the playing field so that you can avoid people just running to waivers and stacking up those counting stats to get an edge over their opponents.
I mean, it's interesting because when you say it, I'm like, it does even the playing field. It also requires you to be more strategic and diligent, also staying on top of like, right, not just ads or whatever the case may be, but how you're going to strategize, as you mentioned, which matchups to attack, which is really the secret to fantasy football in a lot of ways. It's like, all right.
Very much so. Yeah, you know, you're right. It is kind of blending the two. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like I want to attack this specific matchup. Like Jaden Reed is supposed to go off against the Detroit Lions because their secondary is missing players, and then he gets fucking nothing.
I'm about to say, where do you go with Jaden Reed? I'm pretty sure he just put up a goose egg, putting up them – Tony Snell empty calories type stats. Yeah.
Thankfully he wasn't the reason I lost. It was Jamar Chase on the other side, but it's fine. But like I think ultimately I have so much fantasy PTSD, it's ridiculous.
but low-key, I think Jamar Chase should have been the number him and Saquon Barkley. They should be probably number one picks.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's the only other guy. Like, I had the number one pick in one league, which I hate.
You picked CMC?
I hate it. No, I picked CeeDee Lamb, who at least survived.
Right? Yeah, he's still playing at least.
Yeah, he got another touchdown. Like, what are you going to do? You know, he lost Dak Prescott. It's like, I fantasy basketball, I'll take the number one pick. That's fine. I had Nikola Jokic last year. It was great. In the fourth pick. In another league, I got Luka Doncic because somebody else went up and grabbed like Anthony Edwards in the top three. I was like, okay.
Strategy.
Fine, you know. and finished first in one league, third in the other. But in fantasy football, I hate getting the first overall pick because it's such bullshit. It's just I knew Christian McCaffrey was going to get hurt. I was never taking Tyreek Hill. Like it's a shit show in fantasy football. Fantasy basketball is a little more straightforward. But I wonder, like, do you have any golden rules, so to speak? Like, are there certain players that are stayaways from you? Are there certain rules that you're just like, if this league has this, then I'm out? Or this league that I'm joining needs to have this specific thing? Like, for me, I'll give you one, so I'll give you a couple of seconds to think. I almost never, and you're not supposed to think this way, but look, I've been a successful fantasy player, so, like, it's just one of my things. If I can't stand watching a player, I'm not drafting them. Like, I'm just not doing it, right? So, like, I've never rostered James Harden before. I haven't rostered Trae Young yet. You know what I mean? Like, I've been able to find alternatives. I've never had Rudy Gobert on my roster. Like, if I just can't stand watching certain, there's not a long list, right? It's just really those three, maybe Ben Simmons. But that was
he's definitely on my list too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good question to ask because I think it's all about how you want to play the game and how much enjoyment you want to have. Like, clearly, you're a person that wants to roster players that you like to watch, so you can watch in real time. Like, oh, wow,
I want to win. I want to win, but I very much like in real life, I want to win in my terms.
Yeah, right? there's an aesthetic piece to it, and I think that there's certain players that analytically are good fantasy players, Fred VanVleet, but it's kind of boring, right? Like, there's a lot of those players. I tend to not take the boring players, Tobias Harris, Rudy Gobert. That's a
great one. Tobias is a great one.
Miles Turner. Jaren Jackson Jr. is actually a player I never draft because, like, I try not to get the guys whose value is spiked by rare stats like blocks. Block is a random stat.
Yeah.
We know about the history about how, you know, and his home away splits were crazy the year that he won Defensive Player of the Year. That home cooking, he has yet to receive that ever again, and his fantasy value suffered because of it. Jimmy Butler, anybody I think availability that has availability questions, I have really hard time getting around. Exactly. I think Joel Embiid was a really interesting one this year because while he wasn't injured, he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
So his value fell to like second, third round by the time I was drafting. I was like, all right, well, the dude's not hurt. I might as well just pick him. Now I'm like, shit, definitely should have went another direction with that. So I don't have a lot of Kawhi Leonard. Brandon Ingram's another guy that's generally very frustrating to roster because he's just always in and out of the lineup. And now you add the contract shenanigans with that too. Zion Williamson, I think, is probably the most frustrating fantasy player, I think, right now in the game, man. Like, he just can't get healthy. When he's on the court, though, points leagues especially, he's a beast. Like, he'll put up over 40 fantasy points a game, but, like, you can only count on dude for, like, 20 to 30 games a year. So, can't take him seriously. In terms of, like, general rules of, like, what I wouldn't play in, there's not a league I wouldn't play in. I think the one caveat that I would say is like, it's got to be 12 teams. I can't do 10. 10 is just not, there's just, the rosters are too loaded. I need to be a little bit more in the trenches, picking out players that like obscure, you know, super values in the 120 range that are going to smack and become like 70, top 75, 80 players.
Peyton Pritchard.
That was my guy. Six man, dude, I was saying he was going to be a six man of the year candidate, and dudes was like, oh, he just scores. I'm like, he does more than that, yo. Like,
the team that I have with Jaylen Brown has Peyton Pritchard also. So it's
that's a nice little hedge.
It's like handcuffing your running back. You know what I mean? Because on the games Jaylen Brown has missed, which is hasn't been many, but on the games he's missed, Peyton Pritchard will go in and be like, all right, cool, I can get 24.
Yo, and he literally said that at the media day. He was like, there's going to be times where we're going to be playing against the Pistons. We're not going to be getting a full workload. We're going to pass the ball to Peyton, let him go to work, him and Sam Hauser. Yeah. And that's literally what they've been doing, man. They've been letting him cook. And that's why he's a top 30 fantasy player right now.
Yeah.
They probably could argue he could sell him high, but nah, I would hold on to him, man. Mm-hmm. He looks like his role in that squad, especially with Drew Holiday getting older, him kind of taking some games off, like they're ready to ride Pritchard all the way back to the playoffs here. So yeah, I really like him in fantasy. Trying to think of some other golden rules.
Zach Levine's a guy that I stay away from also on the injury front.
I feel that.
And also like I just not particularly a fan of his game.
I mean, I think his game's kind of evolved now. Like Minnesota, Zach was like, you know, super athletic, a lot of three pointers. Now he's getting to the middie a little bit more. I think his just situation sucks. Like, I think he needs a new environment.
I always want like, so Zach LaVine is a guy I monitor from the standpoint of like last year, for example, when he got hurt, I immediately grabbed Ayo Dosunmu. Who Beast. I ended up keeping, I think, for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
he was. Where, you know, that's one of the league winners, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Coby White, I didn't have him, but someone who did, they were very happy with Coby White after the fact. And there are certain guys that I feel like you can target sort of the person waiting in the wings.
Sure.
Because if they're injury prone, like I thought Jaime Jaquez would be that for Jimmy Butler this year.
Like, he's just not hitting, man.
Yeah.
Like,
but the Heat are especially weird. Just the way that they play, which, you know, that's a basketball conversation that I can do for an hour, but I'm not going to. But like, there are certain players like that, like if they're injury prone, quote unquote. Like if Joel Embiid had a better backup, Andre Drummond was this at one point, but he's been hurt and his minutes have decreased even when he's out there. And Gershon Yabusele has kind of become somebody who rises to the occasion.
Low key, second best acquisition this year outside of Jared McCain.
Yeah. And I think it's worth targeting guys like that too. Like just the backup to, okay, if this person gets hurt, like if Peyton Pritchard was behind Zach LaVine, he'd have even more value.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I think it's a good point because there is a lot of value to be had in like that 110. I'd say probably like 90 to 110, 120 range of players that like Amen Thompson was going to be coming off the bench. But anytime Fred VanVleet misses a game or maybe Dylan Brooks gets hurt, this guy is a Swiss Army knife, so he can fit into a lot of different roles. So I just figured.
You told me to get him.
At the top, like this dude's going to play. And even though he's still working on his jump shot, it's going to come. But like the rebounding at his position, the stocks that he gets, the field goal percentage, like he's just a really good fantasy player. So like that was a guy I got on almost every team because he's practically free and everyone's looking at, oh, well, Jalen Green starting, Fred VanVleet's there.
Right.
Tari Eason, another guy that's blowing up right now.
I'm trying to trade for him in one team.
In limited minutes. And this is the time to do it while he's out with a concussion.
Yeah.
Someone might get frustrated and drop him.
There's a Laker fan in my league who wants Austin Reeves. So I'm trying to do like a Reeves-Eason sort of thing there. He also wants Anthony Edwards because aesthetically, like Anthony Edwards is fun to watch.
But not a good fantasy player. I mean, this year he is because he's hitting a ridiculous amount of three-pointers.
But I'm open to do... He was my first-round pick, and I didn't love leaving the draft with him because I was like, I usually try to get like a versatile big early on. You know what I mean? But just where the draft was at the time, it was like, I'm not taking Joel Embiid now because of what you outlined earlier. It's too early for Bam. And even so, I feel like Bam may take a little bit of a scoring hit because Tyler's probably going to be starting. Exactly. That's happened. So I didn't love that. So I'm open to it, but I also like, you know, I don't want to get like Damian Lillard in return, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's a slight injury concern for me. Although he's been balling this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that just reminds me of another golden rule. I don't draft rookies generally. Like last year was an anomaly. Like we had Chet, we had Wemby. That was Brandon Miller freak year. But it's not worth it to. There's always going to be that rookie wall that they hit in midseason. Mm-hmm. The playing time's always in question. So, like, that's one general thing that just kind of reminded me. But going back to your point, I think it's important to realize, like, what the roles and rotations are going into this season. And then, again, this is, like, nerding out stuff. But you're a Miami Heat fan, so you know kind of how they
operate. I'm not. That is a narrative.
You just like betting on them.
Correct. I like betting on them because the books tend to undervalue them.
Okay.
Not currently. This is mostly a 2019 to 2023 thing. Last year, I didn't really like the team, and this year, I can't fucking stand watching.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I mean, you're in New York, man. Come on. You got to be repping the Knicks, especially when they're actually good.
The Knicks have not been good my entire life until now, you know?
Well,
You
were 2000, right? And I was too early, probably.
I was six.
Yeah, you're too.
You know, like
you had Mello. You were there for Linsanity.
Yeah, that came and went.
That was solid.
You know,
it was solid.
Like
it was a moment.
Yesterday, I was talking to my boy Jamal Murphy on here about the Mets getting Juan Soto. The Mets are the only team that I like. That's my diehard team, right?
Man, everybody hates that deal.
That's another conversation. It's a 5-year deal.
I'm a Phillies guy, so I'm like, yeah, y'all can.
it's a 5-year deal, and then it can become 15 depending.
Yeah, you got the Bobby Bonilla, right?
The opt out, whatever the case would be. No, he doesn't have deferred money. He's gonna get it.
He's getting it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, if they win a World Series, who cares? I don't want to get too off topic, but I'll say, the reason why I bring that up is because the Mets, they've had like these little runs every 5 years, like 99 to 2000, then 06 to 08, they were good. And then like 14, they were fun and young. And then 15, they get to the World Series. And 16, they're good. Like the Knicks just kind of have like the mellow years. If you're born in like the mid 90s, they have like early 2000s, but you barely remember that. Then they have the mellow years. Mm-hmm. You're not old enough to remember the OJ Simpson chase. And then you have like now, basically, you know, like.
Let's just fast forward like 10 years, man. Like it's been a minute. But yeah, that is how it is, though. And I got homies that are diehard Knicks fans. So, like, they've gone through years of misery and torment from us, other people that rep other squads that have just been historically better, that have won championships.
From a fantasy standpoint, though, like, the Knicks were a team I would stay away from previously, not now.
Right.
They're certain teams where I'm like, they might lose too many games. Like I kind of shifted on this philosophically, no, and I'm wondering, like,
that's a good, I thought you're going to go there. It's like, do you draft tanking teams, players?
Because before I would get like younger me would eat up, let me get Bilal Coulibaly. Mm-hmm. Let me try to get not Jordan Poole because, you know, just woeful experiences.
I say, that sounds like someone that you wouldn't target, like in the James Harden category of things. Like, aesthetically, I can't really watch you play because you just do the most reckless things.
And... yeah, but there are certain players where I would be like, especially if they're like not rookies but young, because you know that the organization from a business standpoint is just invested in this person.
Sure.
Like philosophically, we need to see him do whatever. You would think Bilal Coulibaly is one of those guys.
Scoot Henderson, I would assume, would be that guy, but he's just not.
But now I've shifted on that because tanking has gotten so crazy. Even mm-hmm. with the play-in scenario, there are still teams that are doing it where it's like, we can hold this person out every fourth game, so to speak, or we could just have a situation where, you know, like if they get hurt and it's a little tweak, we could sit them out for longer. And instead of the young person just being a looter in a riot, you're not really, I don't feel like you're getting that, or at least I don't feel as confident in that as I did before because of availability concerns.
Yeah, I think that's like probably playing the game of like, if you're going to go for a player on a tanking team, which one is it? Because there's going to be like probably five or six teams vying for that. Like, oh, we're going to mail it in for the lottery pick. The Pistons have been traditionally there. The Wizards, the Utah Jazz. I generally would say that it would be a late pick for me if I was trying to go for a tanking team because of what you said. Like, it's just so the unpredictability of like when they're going to mail it in and are they going to let the veterans play early and then they turn to the younger players at a certain point. It's too much volatility for me. And like, I think you just look at the Utah Jazz. I don't draft Lauri Markkanen because of that. Like,
I was going to say, I've been offered him three times.
No thanks. He's not going to be playing in March at this rate. I mean, just look at Jeremy Grant. The dude hasn't played in like March in the last three seasons.
Been offered him too.
bum sauce. I don't want none of that. None of that. And even Keontae George, he was a guy that I was high on coming out of the draft. And like, I see the upside with him, but like, he hasn't figured out how to play point guard without turning over the ball a ton, him and Scoot Henderson. So I think that these are just like experiments more so than reliable fantasy assets that like, sure, they'll have those spike games where they play really well, and that's when you sell high. But if you roster those dudes, I would take that moment. If they go off, trade them to another team, get a player that's going to be playing and actually vying for something in March, because I think you're going to get better production out of it.
Going back to the injury concern thing, because then after this, I want to ask you something else that's going to shift us a little bit before we get out of here. But going back to the injury concern thing, I have in the past... and I have friends who've played fantasy who've tried to do this also. They'll kind of wait out, like we mentioned the Jimmy Butlers and some people like that, where like you don't want to deal with the game to game, like, oh, are they going to be available? Kawhi Leonard in the past, now he's just straight up not playing. But when it's trade deadline season in fantasy basketball, which is shortly before the playoffs, mm-hmm. do you look at them if they're on a contending team or a team that's trying to win or a team that's competitive, and you're like, hey, let me try to swing this just in case they pop, which has happened with Jimmy in the past, which has happened with Kawhi in the past, where the second half of the year or those last 7 weeks leading into the playoffs. Yeah, like, is that something you've tried to do or you would encourage people to do? Just like keep an eye out for those guys because they may start playing more and are currently just ramping up for later on in the year when it really matters.
I say, yeah, I think that that's a really smart thing to do because like any team that's trying to position themselves higher in the standings for, you know, potential matchups in the playoffs, or even they're just trying to like get that momentum to go into the playoffs. If you see any surging teams, I would definitely try to trade for those guys before that trade deadline expires, because I think it's going to be a better outlook for you if you're rostering players that have something to play for versus not. There's going to be some, anytime you let the younger players kind of do what they do, there's going to be some efficiency like struggles that come with that, with getting that new role, that new opportunity, the volume. There's always going to be this adaptation period, whereas like a team that's surging late in the season, I want to hitch my ride on that, because that's what's going to take you to league winning status. A great example is Jalen Green last year. Played outstanding in February and March. And traditionally, he's been a better player after the All-Star break. Like, this dude couldn't get his shit together in the first half of the season. Then he just continues to just ball out second half. I'm curious to see how that changes, if that changes this year, because he started out really hot. Now he's kind of cooled off. What's going to happen the rest of it? So pay attention to the tailwinds and see where it takes you, because I think if you're getting any team that's looking for that added boost towards the end of the season, that's usually a good thing that's going to translate to fantasy points versus a team that's going the other direction, that where it's like, are they mailing it in? Yeah. Are they going to rest? Yeah. Do we really have any purpose of taking this guy or putting any mileage on this, on these players, if it's not going to mean something?
Okay. We know that fantasy basketball is not as popular as fantasy football, which I think is a cheat code, because like once a week versus a daily grind, sure. Also just the popularity of football in general. But I feel like gambling on basketball has become more popular. Is that because it requires less effort? I feel like that's a conversation to have. I feel like it probably does, for some people at least. But what do you think ultimately is keeping fantasy basketball from being more popular? Is it just like the way the system is laid out, where hey, it's 82 games versus 16 and it's harder to follow and that's it?
I just feel like it's marketing. Like,
I think you're on to something.
If you want fantasy basketball to compete, or at least lessen the margin of how dominant fantasy football is, just put money into it. And I'm hopeful.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I appreciate that Yahoo hired me to talk about fantasy basketball.
Yeah.
But I feel like that, I think that's what it is. And I think it's tapping into the social engagement more. Like, I think that there's an opportunity to really get engaged with the younger generation and getting them to play fantasy sports in general. Like, I think fantasy football, it's kind of like the gateway drug. But I think we could actually get some really intelligent kids, you know, the math, the nerds, the guys that like staring at box scores like I did when I had trading cards. I don't know how you stare at NFTs, but in some form or fashion, like, kids are going to like be around numbers and stats. And if I was a teacher, like, I would low key do like an experiment, like, hey, let's have a fantasy, let's play a fantasy game and see where you guys can figure out different strategies to ultimately win the game. I think that there's going to be a point where, yes, viewership of the NBA is down, but if you look at the popularity of the NBA players versus football players, NBA players just lap them. It's not even close.
And we could see them. We could see their faces.
We know who they are. Mm-hmm. These guys are brand ambassadors for the biggest sports companies and other companies, you know, in the world. So I think that there's also a bridge to be had to connect them to the game. You get them more in the game, then I think that that will only trickle down to the consumer, which then they would have more interest in the game. So I think it's a trifecta, I don't know, multifaceted approach.
There you go.
The NBA needs to figure out how to market it. The sports platforms need to invest in it. And then I think you got to get the buy-in from the players to say this is acceptable. I mean, you got to figure, for how much shit that players get for not hitting in their parlays, I feel like they probably feel way better about, yo, bro, I missed on your fantasy production this week. That just seems like an easier conversation to have than, yo, man, I had a chance at winning my lotto ticket today and you burned me. F you. Go kill yourself. Like,
yeah.
I feel like fantasy basketball is way, way nicer with them not playing in games and having it affect your bankroll.
I would say also don't curse out players in their DMs or in the little just Yahoo chats.
Them.
Yeah.
What are we adding them for?
The little Yahoo chats could get nasty, bro. Like,
oh, bro, those are heavy. Those are heavy. Don't tell them if I ever recommend a bad player. Jesus. I'm like, damn, y'all, like, it's not that serious. We're playing a game here. We're playing a game. You always got an option. You always got an option.
But you know what it is? And you know this. A lot of people put a lot of money up. Yeah. And that's like, listen, This is why we play within your means, you know, like play with your whatever you could live to lose. This is why I don't put down like I'm not a $100 better as somebody who talks about gambling, makes money talking about gambling.
You're not competing against anybody else. Like your unit size is your preference, whatever you can afford. Pause.
Right.
Yeah, that was real. but yeah, like, you know, to each his own, man. You gotta be able to handle within your means. And that goes for fantasy, that goes for betting. I just think that there's actually a fun element of fantasy basketball that we haven't unlocked yet. The other thing that I think that's kind of holding it back is like the camaraderie between friends playing fantasy basketball. I think the adoption, I think a lot of the leagues that I play in, I don't know everybody. Like I don't see them as much as I maybe, or I don't talk to them as much as I interact with the people in the fantasy football chat. No. So I think there is some communication barriers there that also need to be lifted a little bit. But you know, if I can get the homies in the league, like I run three leagues myself, it's a lot. I wish I could delegate some of that, but like I got to get more people that I know playing fantasy football, fantasy basketball over fantasy football. And I think the way to get them there is points leagues. And I know you're a big fan of points leagues,
but I think
that that's the easiest way to get people. Yo, it's not that hard. Your fantasy football team sucks. You're out of the playoffs. You missed it by 2 points.
You need that. You know what I'm saying? You need that other hit.
You got to get that other hit. Go get you a fantasy basketball team, man. Points leagues, hella easy. Just set your lineup and watch it go to work. You might have to make a couple pickups, but you're used to that. You do that in fantasy football anyway.
Right. What do you think it will take to become more popular? I know you mentioned like just marketing, but actual steps to take, you know, from a, like, is it just companies opening up the budget, which could be like, I mean, are they really going to do that? Like, what are the practical sort of steps, I guess, that can be taken to grow this? Because I do feel like there's room for it to grow. I feel like there's like we should be seeing more commercials about fantasy basketball, for example, especially.
I mean, a commercial, not more.
A commercial. Yeah. Especially on these broadcasts where like, you know, there's partners, they're partnered with the league and you can play fantasy basketball on NBA.com. Mm-hmm. Like that's something you can do. Like one of my first experiences was doing that. And, you know, I didn't love it, so I didn't really go back. But
it's so funny how the league has like the worst version of every sports fantasy experience. I tried to do NFL on NFL.com once, and I was like, never again.
I'm not saying this just because you're here. I really only use Yahoo. I'm not even joking. And I've heard people enjoy like some other apps, one that starts with an S that I've been hearing a lot about. But I only use Yahoo right now. It's actually
not good for fantasy basketball, though. Fantasy football, it's fine. Like, it's okay. It's fine.
I
think that there's features of each platform that I think are interesting. And I think that that's also like part of the problem. Like you give everyone all these different options and, you know, I think the popularity and how it's run is going to be different depending on what you're playing on. But I think Yahoo does it great. There are definitely some enhancements that can be made. I think we can kind of borrow from other people what they're doing well. I think we've done a great job of redesigning and trying to make it a little bit more user-friendly, more accessible. But there's stuff that we can always improve upon. So that's one of the things I'm trying to do behind the scenes is just like, yo, let me be the beacon of information for certain people. Like as a consumer, like I play this game, so I got my gripes and my issues, but at the same time, like how can I help and just make this better for everybody? But I think it's a really good question to ask because I think really it's just like, how can we get the NBA more invested in this game? And it's right there. Like Yahoo's a partner with them. They have a section on their website about fantasy. I don't know how much they look at it or how much they lean into it, but I did have an opportunity to do the NBA's Discord a week ago. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. I was surprised at how many people were actually like showed up to ask me questions about it. I'm like, wait, you guys actually do care about fantasy basketball? So I think that the community is there. It's just a matter of how can we expand it and get it more people into it. And I think having casuals have these conversations and giving them the experience, let them try it out, I think is probably the best way to do it. But I think if we can get some top level buy-in too, I think that would certainly help.
Okay. Let's end this with some buy low, sell high candidates. It's already trade season in fantasy basketball. I've been offered trades. I've made one trade, which not really going my way right now.
I got one in my inbox that I've just been looking at, like staring at, like, yeah, like obviously, yes, you do this, but then I'm like, but do I? It's the dude, I got Jaylen Brown. Or no, I got Peyton Pritchard and Santi Aldama. And he wants to trade me Miles Turner and Jaylen Brown. The reason I haven't pressed yes yet is because I'm taking a hit in efficiency. I'm taking a hit in turnovers by a wide margin.
It's a category.
Categories. Okay. Yeah, categories.
Points. Not even a discussion.
Goodbye. Nice. Thank you for sending this in my inbox. It's probably going to get vetoed.
Yeah.
But if you look at Santi Aldama, has been like a top 50 fantasy player this year. And I think at some point there is a sell high point because the Memphis Grizzlies are getting healthier.
He's one of my sell highs that I have written down.
Yeah,
actually.
And so now I'm like debating, but like I just told you earlier, I don't draft Miles Turner. I'm debating it because I really like Peyton Pritchard, but like I think I might bite the bullet and just take talent over current production and do the trade. But I've definitely been thinking about it a lot.
All right. Let's do sell highs and buy lows. We'll do this rapid fire ish, but I'll just toss name and then you say what you're going to say. We'll do sell highs first because the buy lows are actually juicier. Sell high. We did Santi Aldama. Let's do Peyton Pritchard since you just mentioned him. Peyton Pritchard, would you sell high on him now or keep him?
I think you could get something good for him. I mean, clearly this guy just offered me Jaylen Brown. So I think I'm going to categorize that as a sell high, even though I really do like him a lot this year.
I'm keeping him. In a points league, I'm keeping him.
Wow.
In a points league, I'm keeping him because I have Jaylen Brown.
Right. Okay.
So for me, it's like.
You got the backup essentially.
Right.
Like he's the backup for pretty much everybody except for the big men. Right. Like.
Yes. 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 Like if Tatum, this is the thing. I have Jaylen Brown, but also like if Tatum is out, Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard's stock go up.
Yeah.
You know, same thing goes with Derek White, mm-hmm. Drew Holiday. Those are probably more likely. Mm-hmm. So to me, like it would take a lot. I haven't been offered, but it would take a lot. And I'm curious what other people would think. Grady Dick, would you sell high or no?
I'd hold now because we don't know what Scotty Barnes's injury looks like. Mm. Dude said he couldn't feel his foot. That can't be good. And even if the x-rays are negative, like, I don't know, man. I'm bracing for...
I have them both on one team.
I'm bracing for an absence, so I would hold Dick for now. Hold Grady for now. Hold Grady. Oh man.
I
jokes write themselves, man.
Yeah. I shouldn't clip that. I shouldn't clip that, but I also should. with the context. That's
context true, matters, y'all. Context yes. matters.
Yes. Jared McCain, another rookie. Well, Brady Dick's not a rookie, but still. Jared McCain's a rookie.
I would probably hold Jared McCain because I think that the Sixers season is not going to go. It's not going to get that much better. And that top six protected pick is going to become increasingly more important the more that they lose. I'd hold on to him. I think he's actually going to have some consistency with this rotation.
Would you trade for him? I'm neutral on that one.
Probably not.
Yeah.
He doesn't do enough outside of scoring in threes for me
yeah.
when Tyrese Maxey and Paul George are healthy. The question is, what if those guys are off the floor, though, and it's just Maxey and him? Yeah.
So I think there's a discussion there because Paul George is, in terms of the injury scale, he's definitely above average. Like, he could miss some time tomorrow.
100%.
He can 100%. Tweet anything.
So we were talking about sell highs. There's one right there. Mm. I'd sell him immediately. He's had like two games of like 8 and 9 assists. The scoring's come back a little bit. This dude was a third round value. So I would get rid of him for probably a fourth, fifth rounder if you could right now, just because I just don't trust the health.
Was not on my sell high list, but that's a good one. I would not. If someone's selling him, I'm not buying. Paul George, no. That's not happening. Unless I'm buying really, really low, but even then I won't feel great about it. Sell high, DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, I would sell him high.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's going to be on the trade. I mean, he's always on the trade block. We'll see what happens, but
I think the Hawks might sell high.
Yes, they've been trying to sell. They can't get that. They're going to be selling damn low. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. He's playing really well off the bench, but yeah, I don't trust that.
Sell high. This is a no for me, at risk of leading the witness, but still. Evan Mobley.
No.
I get offers on him
hold every week. And I know he just got his, he just sprained his ankle too.
Don't care. Keeping him.
Hold him. Hold him as long as you can. The breakout is for real.
Yeah, I agree. Jared Allen, teammate.
I'd hold him too. I would just hold the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, they're a team that at least we'll see how many wins they get to. But, you know, if they keep up this torrid pace, you know, and they're looking, staring down the history books, I don't know if they're going to rest their guys either. So, yeah, I would be holding Cleveland Cavaliers for the foreseeable future. I wouldn't trade any of them.
You could probably get a lot for Donovan Mitchell. And I thought he would score more this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Kenny Atkinson and knowing how he likes to use his guards, as he did in Brooklyn when I covered them. Like, it's a very guard-friendly offense. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, his scoring is just not at the clip that I projected. But he's still, like, he's doing enough to where I feel like there's a potential where, like, somebody based on his name may give you a lot, I guess is the point.
I'd actually float Darius Garland too, because sure. Now that he's out with this concussion, I think he's back now, but or he should be returning. He's been like a top 30 player over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, and he was top mm-hmm. 10 before that. I think Kenny Atkinson did the smart thing in unlocking him and Evan Mobley to take off some of that burden of Donovan Mitchell, which actually could preserve Donovan Mitchell late season more, because he did come up with some knee issues and knee he had some knee inflammation towards the end of last season. And so that's some concern I have about Donovan Mitchell long term, is like, is that knee going to flare up again if he's seeing too much of a workload? Will they bench him, rest him, whatever? Less concerns of that when he's getting less volume and he's sharing the workload with Evan Mobley and Darius Garland.
Eastern Conference Player of the Week, Tyler Hero, so high or no?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty substantial injury risk with Tyler Hero. Like, he's always played decently well, but the efficiency gains mm-hmm. this year are just stupid. I mean, yeah. What he's shooting from three, from the field, he's balling, which I think screams sell high.
Yeah, I agree with that. And generally, as somebody who's probably lower on him than consensus and actual he fans,
you might be able to get a really good player, you know, fourth rounder type guy, just considering where you drafted him and how he's playing relative to that value gain. Like, yeah, you might be able to get a nice haul for Tyler Hero for sure.
In a points league, because I don't think you do this in a category league, in a points league, would you sell him for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I would.
Not in a categories league, though. Or would you do it in the categories league also?
I think there's a buy low window for Jaylen Brown. He hasn't been lighting it up. So I think that you're going to lose the efficiency a little bit, but like, I think you're going to be getting more rebounds, less assists. Threes are probably comparable. We'll see. But I think I would take the durability of Jaylen Brown over the durability of Tyler Hero long term.
All right, buy lows. I have a bunch. I have 10 here, and I may think of a couple others. Oh, I have one more sell high, actually. Norman Powell.
I wouldn't sell him high. I think his role is solidified, and we don't know when Kawhi Leonard's coming back. So as long as he's the number one option on offense, I wouldn't sell him, no.
Would you trade for him? Because I've thought about doing this.
I think now's a good time, as he's going in and out of the lineup with this hamstring injury that he can't shake. Hamstring injuries are tough. I don't like buying hurt players, but I think that they're being particularly cautious with him for good reason. I would be interested in buying low now, because this is the time before he goes off for 25 points in his next game when he's healthy. This is the time you get him while he's banged up.
Okay, buy low. We'll start with Jimmy Butler, who is in trade rumors now.
Nah, I'm good off Jimmy. Nope. Don't do it. Don't trust it. The contract,
yes.
And Jimmy being Jimmy, he's an enigma. I think if you drafted him, you kind of just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Those are the breaks.
Yeah, I don't draft him. I would think about trading for him before the fantasy deadline, depending on where that situation is. That's probably as far as I'd go.
What situation could he go to where he wouldn't see touches? Like, he can't be the number one guy. Where
no, would he go? But I'm saying I still don't think they're really going to trade him as of now. But if they did, like, the three teams that were mentioned were Houston, Dallas, Golden State. He's taking a hit wherever. But yeah. That, I mean, in terms of buying low, could you potentially get him if he's in another situation for less than you would think just because of the name? You know, if somebody's like, yo, I'm done with the injuries, he's older, and now he's like the third option or whatever behind, for example, Luka and Kyrie, like, I could actually see that working out, especially in a situation where it's like, if it's him, Luka and Kyrie and Klay, Kyrie and Klay are also injury risks. So it's like, there are going to be games where if it's Luka and Jimmy, I'm putting them on the Mavs now for whatever reason. I don't even know. Like, but, you know, like, Houston, I feel like is a feasible one, but I've heard Houston is less interested in that now than they probably were at another
point. I mean, Houston can get whoever the hell they want at this point because they got assets to move. Like, they're too many guys. They got the league by the balls right now. They have their pick of the litter, and they don't even need to make a move for real. Like, they're third in the West right now.
They don't. They just play out the season. See how you didn't even make the playoffs last year. Just make the playoffs. See how you do.
They have a team option for Fred VanVleet. So
yeah,
you know, you have a choice. You want to run it back? You can. If you don't.
Right.
And hey, here's the keys, young man.
You have Jalen Green's contract because you're going to trade him. Like, they extended him because I saw the salary number and I was like, oh, that's a future trade piece. Yep. Him, Jabari Smith, like, that's the package. And they'll throw in somebody else. It probably won't be Amen Thompson unless the player is amazing.
Right.
You know, like, it'll probably be something like that. Would you buy low on his teammate, Bam Adebayo?
Yes.
1,000%.
Absolutely. Agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He's not going to shoot 40% for the rest of the season, y'all. Like, come on. He's good.
Yeah. And on top of that, even when he has shot that, especially if you're in a points league or a categories league,
he's still going to give you the assists and the rebounds. Like, that's what Bam does.
And he'll have games where he'll get like only one stock, but he'll also have games where he'll have like three steals and two blocks. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would buy low on him. Absolutely. LeBron James. Is the name too powerful to consider this a buy low?
Yeah, I think it might be. Like, I think if you put LeBron on the trade block, like, you're gunning for a top 35 player. I think that's going to be a hard sell.
Probably higher, honestly.
I feel like it's just a hold, but if someone was willing to sell LeBron for an affordable price, I would do it. Because I think the Lakers are going to be better than what they're showing right now. This is a huge schedule rut. I think they're probably going to have to make a move in the deadline. I don't know what moves can really be made, but I mean, I don't know that this is going to be LeBron's last season, but he's playing pretty damn well. His scoring's down, but everything else, he's still doing the rebounds, the assists, still gets a steal. He's hitting threes. Like, LeBron's still a good fantasy player, so I'm not overly concerned about him.
Would you buy low on his teammate, Austin Reeves?
Yeah, because, like, he's a player that I don't think anyone is, like, married to. Like, his draft stock wasn't that high to begin with, so you could probably get a reasonable deal for Austin Reeves. Like, is he a guy that I'm, like, actively targeting? No, but he's an easily movable piece.
But if you have a Laker fan in your fantasy league like I do,
take advantage.
Hit him up.
Because
I wouldn't mind parting with him, honestly, especially because I have like some duplication anyway. So another guard, DeJounte Murray. Would you buy low on DeJounte?
I don't even know. I think the buy low window might have closed. I mean, there was a couple of games where he was like not scoring efficiently, you know, really bad shooting splits, but he's had the assists and the steals, which is like always the thing that's really propped up his fantasy value, along with his rebounding at the guard position. He's been doing that really well. And now that Brandon Ingram's out, dude's about to cook even more. So, yeah, if anyone's trying to get rid of DeJounte Murray, buy him immediately. I actually don't even care what the cost is. He's gonna cook.
Would you buy low on Desmond Bane?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. have them both.
Absolutely. Him and Bam are like my top dudes. I'm like, these guys are good. And for whatever reason, they just have this like, you know, hey, I got to get out of my shooting slump. But once I get out of that, like, it's curtains. So yeah, I think Desmond Bane is starting to go in that upswing. He's getting more minutes now. I think in December, he's averaging over 30 minutes. Prior to that, he was only sitting at like 27, 28. And I think that's all by design. The Memphis Grizzlies haven't been able to stay healthy over the last couple seasons. So yeah, this is the way that they're going to get him back. And now he's already starting to find his groove a little bit. So yeah, definitely get Desmond Bane.
Jalen Duren.
No. And it pains my heart. Pains me.
Because I drafted him then. I had
bro, he was one of my breakout guys again. I think I've had him as a breakout 2 years in a row because I was like, yo, he's going to go off sophomore year. Oh, he's going to go off year three.
I'm about to sell.
Not going off, man. And I don't know when he's going to – I don't know what – JB Bickerstaff's had enough. He's like, bro, I got a better chance of winning with Isaiah Stewart in the lineup for 20 minutes a game. So unless that timeshare goes away, I don't see how you could want to buy into Jalen Duren.
In a points league, somebody just offered to me, I have Jalen Duren, and they're willing to do like a 2-for-1. I guess they want to dump some depth or whatever the case may be. Kayson Wallace and Najee Marshall for Jalen Duren. To which I'm like, I feel
you
like
you might as well just hold Duren at that point. I mean,
yeah.
Although Najee Marshall, I don't think he's – is he questionable tonight? Is he ready to return yet? I don't think so. Okay. If he and was also ready to return, I think it could be a savvy way of getting some extra games. Mm-hmm. But they're playing each other tonight, so if one of them advances, you're going to be dropping the other one. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't – you might as well just hold Duren at that point.
The other was Kayson Wallace and Risa Shea, which was a little more interesting to me. But
it's more interesting, but I think I'd still just hold for where you drafted Duren, just hold him. That's too low. There's a point of buying too low.
Yes, I would flip Duren for two players, depth pieces at this point. But I feel like it's got to be a little bit because my depth.
At least one draftable guy and a waiver guy.
Yeah.
But like, don't give me two waiver guys that you picked up yesterday.
Yeah, like, because like I had, for example, I had a great time with Diabate from the Hornets. But it was time to part ways, you know. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
So like that's Zach Collins when Wemby went down and that, you know, he flipped off an official. Like, what can you can't predict anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous. All right, a few more buy low candidates. Jamal Murray. This one's a little spooky for me. I don't think I would do it.
This is the window for sure.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna say yeah. I think I would buy low on Jamal Murray because
what would you offer though?
Oof, you don't actually have to offer much. I mean, let me take a look real quick.
The shooting percentages, the splits are
his numbers aren't particularly great.
42-33. My concern is, and I may be weighing international play too much because people who follow this channel may already know. I love international basketball and Olympic basketball, World Cup, all that stuff. And he really struggled in the Olympics this year.
He did. He's been like struggling pretty much since the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah. So
you're not like wrong in that.
It's a prolonged thing. And it has me concerned because, like, I mean, he's not young. I mean, he's not old, but he's not like super young. He's going to be 28 next year. So, you know, and he's had big injuries in the past. So,
Maybe like, would you rather have Jalen Suggs or Jamal Murray?
Jalen Suggs, I think.
Hmm.
The steals are very like, the potential steals are very interesting. And also he has this window now without Franz and Paolo for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Paolo's going to be back soon, supposed to be. Would you rather have Tyler Hero or Jamal Murray?
Ooh.
So high versus buy low.
I think that's probably where I would go with it. Actually, I mean, that's a bold move, but I think that's the type of sell high buy low that I think is reasonable. Like if a fantasy manager saw that, he'd be like, oh, okay, all right, I'm gonna think about that. Versus like the get the fuck out of here.
That's an interesting one. If I don't know who I'd rather have. long term this season?
It definitely depends on like your roster build. Like if you're punting field goal percentage, for instance, or you're not even punting, you don't know what punting is. If your field goal percentage sucks, it's not going to hurt you that much to get Jamal Murray into your lineup. However, Tyler Hero has been doing everything very efficiently and across the board. Yes. So like he's not hurting you in any way. No. But I do see that there's an avenue to be taking if you want to lean into what you're bad at and what your strengths are, because Jamal Murray will still give you points. He'll still give you assists. He'll still give you threes. The free throw percentage is fine. And in a points league, like he's still good. Like he'll still put up well over 30 fantasy points per game. So I actually don't feel like the gap between them is not that significant in points leagues. And category leagues, I think that there's some upside and room for growth where, you know, Jamal Murray hitting that standard that we've seen in years past. He may not be that, but he's still a decent fantasy player.
God, we're at an hour. Didn't even know that. All right. Two more. Buy low, Zion Williamson.
No.
Hard no for me.
I'm debating cutting him in a points league right now that I only have one. I only have one IL, and like I got issues, man. I got deeper issues. I got to throw Jamal Murray in there now. I got to throw somebody else in there. So like, nah, I mean, he might be cut bait.
This is the one for me because I was offered him and I thought about it, but I ultimately passed.
No,
don't. Tyrese Haliburton.
Oh,
would you buy low on Tyrese Haliburton? It does not look great.
I'm not buying because until we can figure out what's going on with the home road splits, not interested. And
he hasn't been the same guy since last NBA Cup.
No. And there's rumors that like he's got like a back thing that he's working through. He hasn't really been too transparent. No one's been transparent about what he's dealing with. He's just pushing on, which I respect him for. But that doesn't mean I need to trade for you in fantasy. So if I'm the person that has Tyrese Haliburton, I would wait till he has a 3-game homestand, he balls out in game two, and then you sell him because I can't trust it for the rest of the season to what we're seeing.
That's Dan Titus. Follow his work at Dan Titus, Yahoo, Roto World, NBC. Thanks for joining, Dan. This was a lot of fun.
No, this is dope. Have me again, man. I'd love to talk more venting sessions for fantasy basketball.
Oh, we'll do it again definitely before the trade deadline. We'll do some fantasy trade advice or something like that. That's going to be an eventful time. Thank you all for watching. And of course, I'm sure people are going to watch this after the fact. We'll have clips up and things of that nature. More on the channel very soon, including a preview for Oleksandr Usyk versus Tyson Fury, the rematch. That's coming likely this week. Well, tomorrow at the time you're seeing this. Take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.